Grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. There are reunions here on campus of those who have been in the ministry for a time. Usually, when we speak in chapel, we are speaking to many young men who look into the future, who look ahead and strive in that direction. While today we have those who can look back over a period of years, many years, or perhaps not quite as many. There are many memories, many renewals, many averings of faith and idealism as we have it in the Lutheran Church, in the Lutheran confessions, in our Lutheran history. There are many memories of difficult times, of sufferings. Perhaps we don't go quite as far back as yesterday, 462 years ago, when the Edict of Worms put Luther under the ban for the rest of his life. There are some among us who have at times felt as they were, though they were under the ban. We have been through recently in our beloved church, through such a trial, an operation takeover, perhaps it was called, where in the 60s and 70s efforts were made to turn the church into a different direction, and it was a historical development of considerable proportions. We prize our seminary for this. Dr. Spiegel, one of the former professors, would say repeatedly, it was the Springfield Seminary that saved the Missouri Synod. Well, we thank him for this goodwill and recognize that indeed there is a great deal of truth in the developments of the past years for which we are grateful. There's an inclination to review the lives that we have lived, to look back over the years and make a kind of report. We all know we shall give account before God, who is the bishop of our souls. We have before us a text where one who was in the ministry for 3.5 years, under a ban far greater than that of Martin Luther, his ban was to bear the sins of mankind. And in the chapter before us, John 17, in this season, we have been reading from John through these chapters in which Jesus is speaking to his disciples at different times. And it seems that this chapter belongs to a time close to the ascension. It is read then after that also before Pentecost. The hour has come. I have finished my course. Jesus is saying in the high priestly prayer, we call it high priestly prayer, but it is in a way a report which Jesus makes to his heavenly Father. I have given them thy word. As thou hast sent me, so send I them. These words, then, which continue to show us how Jesus reports to his heavenly Father, I think can be meaningful to us today. It is a report in prayer, a prayer which Jesus speaks, and we learn something about prayer. The hour is come. I have given them eternal life. I have given them thy word, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The prayer is for the disciples, for the elect. I pray not for the world. I pray not that thou take them out of the world. I have given them thy word, that they may preach this word, Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This text does not fit the situation in which many church bodies today want to organize in a visible, in an organizational manner, all the churches of the earth and perhaps beyond that, the religions of the earth into one, and believe thereby they can fulfill the dreams and the salvation of mankind. This is not the property of a World Council of Churches or of a Lutheran World Federation in these modern efforts which set aside the word of Scripture. They do not give heed to this. I have given them thy word. The Lord prays for the disciples, for the elect, and there is a long view in this prayer. A long view, the disciples are still in the world, and I pray not that thou take them out of the world. I pray not to take them out of the world. Sometimes we wish we could be taken much sooner, but we suffer to do the words, the service which the Lord has given us to do, and pray that the Lord might sanctify us indeed in our youth and in our old age also, to continue to testify and do that which he has given us to do. It is a precious promise which is given to us, which we know in our confession, which we know in the oneness in faith, in baptism, in Holy Communion, as the Epistle to the Ephesians teaches us. The oneness, that we may be one, even as the Father and the Son are one. That is a oneness beyond all organization which man can provide. Praise God for this. Our mission is to the world, but we are not to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. These are the instructions of Holy Scripture. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee. The Lord closes. But I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. What a promise! The Lord promises to be in us, to dwell in us, and to show us the love, and once in us, to dwell that love in the oneness in which the Father has loved the Son, and the Son has loved us, and it becomes that relation which we know here on earth by faith, and which shall endure for all time. In the Word, in the sacraments which God has given us for our strengthening, there can be no oneness outside of the word and sacrament. They unite us in Christ our Lord and with our Heavenly Father. Through God the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.